Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Thank you for joining us today. I am Ryan McPherson, and I'm absolutely thrilled, as always, to be broadcasting from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in sensational Sandy Springs. As a reminder, listeners, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X, and today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. You can also follow me personally, at Ryan Redhawk, and all tweets and comments are welcome there. Please check out our Facebook page also, and you will see photos of today's in-studio guests. And we've got a packed studio today. We got a big show for you, so let's say hello to everyone in the studio. First, we'll say hello to Dr. Sanford from the Atlanta Spine Center. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning, Ryan. Atlanta Spine Doctors.
Happy
to be here.
Okay, so how long have you been involved with Atlanta Spine Doctors?
Well, the facility's been open for almost 10 years now.
Okay.
So been owner since the inception.
And where are you guys located? What part of town?
We have two locations. Our primary location is in Sandy Springs at the Concourse Office Park, and then we have a secondary location over in Smyrna, not too far from Cumberland Mall.
Okay. Yeah. We'll look forward to hearing more about that and how you're making people feel good about themselves and getting their bodies back aligned.
Exactly.
So thank you for joining us. But you brought a colleague along with you, Dr. Hunter, Lorenzo Hunter. How you doing, sir?
Great. Doing good, Ryan.
And you've got a unique story to share. How long you been over there with Dr. Sanford?
I've been with Doc now about 3 years.
Okay. And you've kind of worked your way up through the ranks over there, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing your story and sharing with our listeners. So please stay with us. And you brought a satisfied client of yours, satisfied patient, Megan Crumble. How you doing, Megan?
Good. How are you, Ryan?
Good. When did you first go see Dr. Sanford?
In 2012.
2012. And you have been a regular patient ever since?
Ever since.
Very nice. We look forward to hearing about that as well. So let's now introduce our headliner today. Her name is Mary Parker, and she's president and CEO of All-in-One Security Services. How you doing, Mary?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Ryan?
Oh, it's a magnificent Monday here on Atlanta Business Radio, and we're thankful to have such a great in-studio guest, and look forward to hearing more about all of them. But let me tell you a little bit about Ms. Parker. She is recognized as an expert in contract security with more than 30 years of industry experience. She's a highly sought-after speaker and consultant who worked with numerous government and corporate clients to develop customized plans and budgets in all areas of security personnel, security technology, and traffic control management. All-in-One Security Services. Tell us about the beginning of that.
Yes, the beginning was in my kitchen at the table, January 29th, 2001.
Okay.
It was one employee, just myself. And Ryan, we started the company because we wanted to specialize in special event security, which was great. But our focus was primarily on construction sites, which ended after the project. And we did concerts and just all kinds of special events. And we worked at practically every venue in the Metro Atlanta area. Mm. We've gone from that one employee in 2001 to over 300 now. Mm. We have security guards. If you ever go to Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, the people who let you in the parking gates, those are All-in-One Security personnel. We also maintain all of the access control and CCTV for the airport as well. We have that maintenance contract. But not only that, you see All-in-One Security basically anywhere you go. If you go to City of Atlanta, any municipalities there of the buildings, DeKalb County, CDC, the World of Coca-Cola, and the Human and Civil Rights Museum located here in Atlanta.
Outstanding. So you have Atlanta secured and safe, it sounds like, thanks to your team there at All-in-One Security. What was your background prior to 2001? Were you in the security industry?
I was. I actually moved to Atlanta in 1992 and began a company with a partner. And we worked together from 1992 until 2000. And I left there and immediately started All-in-One Security about a month later.
Entrepreneurialism has been something that you've been involved with, it sounds, going way back then.
Oh my gosh, Ryan, I just released my first book. It's called The Chicken Charge. And in doing so, I was able to track my life back to 4 years old. I was my grandfather's helper. He was a moonshiner. So entrepreneurial is definitely in my blood, as well as getting the experience from my grandfather and my grandmother at a very young age.
Well, any advice you may have for a young entrepreneur out there today who's thinking about throwing their hat over the fence and chasing it? What were some of those early lessons you learned that you could share with them?
The first I would like to share, and, you know, my grandmother, my family still, those who are still living call me that today, being the most curious person in the world. And I don't believe it's curiosity. I believe it's, you know, being ambitious. Mm-hmm. And so for young people, stay and glean as much from the mature people as you can. Develop relationships young. Seek out mentors. We don't realize that we're being mentored. But the time that we spend with our grandmothers, our teachers, our older siblings, and community leaders, they're really mentoring us. So don't take the time that you have with those individuals lightly. Take notes. While you're young, you remember everything. So,
yes.
You know, take advantage of those things.
Yeah, mentorship is very important. We hear that time and time again here in the Business Radio X studios. Whether you are a first-time entrepreneur or you're a seasoned business owner looking to take your business to the next level, having someone you can go to help you through these times and talk to is super important.
Yes. Mentorship, relationships are imperative to anyone being in business because, you know, we also hear in the business world that people do business with whom they like, and they can't like you if they don't know you. So visibility is extremely important, networking. And I always like to advise people, you know, in building your team, there are four key areas or groups or people that I strongly advise. For me, my first is my pastor. Having a relationship with my pastor, it is important that he's praying for me, praying for our business, praying for our clients, and also serving as a spiritual advisor for me. Secondly, would absolutely be the attorney.
Yeah.
You know, I want my attorney early. You want the attorney early. Make sure you're forming the company correctly. You know, sometimes people start companies as proprietor or LLCs, and they really don't understand the difference between the various structures. And of course, the banker. The banker is next on my list because I want to make sure that I have someplace to go for capital. So I'm going to need a line of credit pretty early in my business. And I want to do that early while my credit is still good. Because if I start using my own money and depleting my resources, I'm not as credit worthy. And bankers are looking more closely, even your traditional forms of lenders. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the accountant. Because once I get my money, and I've got employees, well, of course, you know, Uncle Sam wants his share. And I want an accountant on my team early so that I'm advised how to spend the money and also to create a tax strategy along the way.
Yeah, sounds like you've built yourself a good alliance of people who are going to help you succeed or not in business. And having those trusted people in your corner makes a big difference. How do you go out and seek someone like a good attorney? Do you go and ask referrals from friends, or do you just go online and Google search that?
Not online, definitely. Yeah. I want someone who has a proven track record. Many times through your networking and other relationships that you have, they can make referrals to you. But I also follow people. I look at the industry of wherever, if I need an attorney, then I start tracking and researching to find out who's doing what. You know, just an entertainment attorney is not a good attorney for me. I need an attorney who's experienced in taxes, corporate business affairs, someone who can advise me, you know, or help me in the event. Because, you know, in business, sometimes we get in trouble. You've got your workers' compensation cases. So I want them to be very, very astute in the business arena.
Yes, that makes sense for sure. And make sure that person you're aligning yourself with, you know, has those same kind of goals and principles and values that you have. And therefore, you can work together and succeed together.
Ryan, that is key. Those values and goals are extremely important because, you know, one can have the skills and what you're looking for. But if your values, if those core values don't mix, you're in for not the greatest relationship.
Right. And those may not be evident right out of the gate, too. So having a meeting, getting to know the person before you decide to retain them, whether it be your attorney or your accountant, I think is a big step first as well.
Yeah, those are great examples. And also, you know, most of us have industry organizations that we're affiliated with. the attorneys I'm looking for, or any you know, clients as well, I want to know, what are they doing within the organizations where they're serving? Are they leaders there? Are they visible in the community? Are they giving back to the community? Mm-hmm. All those things are extremely important. And are they mentoring other leaders as well?
Yeah, no, community is such a huge part of it. So we got to make sure we are giving back. What are some of the ways that you at All in One Security are giving back to the community?
Well, you know, my team had to tell me not to give until it hurts, because I am such a giver. We have established the Mary Parker Foundation, and we have three initiatives: education, focus, and structure. Re-educate, refocus, and restructure. Our students have, we have 17 students, we have 24 students in 17 colleges and universities across the country. We've given more than $90,000 in scholarships the last 4 years without a lot of sponsorship. So we as well are seeking more sponsorships for our foundation. And we have an entrepreneurial training through our Refocus program, whereas I started that last year, and we're graduating our first 12 students on the 25th of March of this year. And then finally, from the, and we have organizations that we partner with, Motherless Daughters, as well as children of incarcerated mothers. And we do all kinds of things in the community. We assist the Criminal Justice Department at Clark Atlanta. We're involved over at Carver Bible College, which is right in our community. And the list just goes on and on and on. But for me, I get my greatest joy out of giving back, because I believe that God has created me as a vessel, that as He's given to me, I am obligated to then transfer that talent, the skills, and even my money, give it back to help raise other generations.
Wow, such powerful testimony here this morning on Atlanta Business Radio from Mary Parker and All in One Security Services. So if you've got this new book out there, Chick in Charge, what was kind of the impetus behind that? What made you want to write your own book?
Well, you know, women are not, so often women are not regarded as highly for doing the work that we do in male-dominated industries. And, you know, and the other side of that is we are regarded as a gender and an ethnicity. And people want to do business with us because of those value-added propositions. But I'm an expert at what I do, and I am a chick in charge.
You are.
And in order to maintain in male-dominated industries, the things that really inspired me to write the book is to tell my story of how I got there. It's been an evolution since I was 4 years old of becoming the chick in charge. But the chick in charge is not an attitude. It is a posture. It is a posture of leadership. It is a posture of strength and determination. And so it's so many more women out there like this. And as I wrote the book, I wrote the book for us. It's just my voice and my story, mm-hmm. but many women will definitely relate to my story.
So that's who the book audience is designed for: women, young women, seasoned business women, entrepreneurs, anyone who kind of wants to take their personal values and leadership to the next level can kind of glean that from your book, Chick in Charge.
Absolutely. And also for men as well. You know, though women is my greatest audience, or women are my greatest audience, it also helped men to better understand who we are as well. And it was such a key, that was a key part for me in understanding, why am I the way that I am? I'm second oldest of 9 children. Everybody else got a college degree, went to work, starting to retire now, and they're going home with their husbands and their children, grandchildren. That didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. I started my career at General Motors as a precision grinding operator. 2 weeks later, I wanted my boss's job, and I did ask for it because I had a timeline, 45 to 90 days. I needed to be out of that plant as an hourly worker because I was then going to be unionized. I didn't want anyone speaking for me. I knew what my goals were, and I wanted to be involved in the management team. And needless to say, I took step one of talking to my boss, my immediate supervisor. They laughed in my face. And I eventually worked my way to the CEO of the company and said, this is what I want to do. And he called back and said, a person who's been in this plant, no family in the plant, if she's this assertive, someone has missed the ball. Mm-hmm. I'm sending her back to you, and I'm sure you're going to decide to bring her on the team.
And that's when you first started taking charge, I guess, right there on this assembly line back.
No, that was midway by then.
Okay. Yeah. When you're 4 years old is when you started taking charge, right? So I'm always curious when folks have come into the studio and written books, what's that book writing process for you like? Is it something you got done quickly or was it kind of a hard step to take? Talk to us about the writing process for you.
Well, first of all, everyone has a story. And it's just a matter of how you formulate it. And I believe we take too much time trying to finalize the book before we tell the story. I just began talking. And I remember one day I was talking and decided, you know what? I think I'll just have a conversation with my grandmother in heaven. She'd be very interested to know what has happened to her baby, that nosy one, always stayed at, you know, grown folks' business. So I began telling my grandmother my story of, you know, what happened with us, how we came from rural Mississippi, sharecroppers, and, you know, the whole family. But then I really honed in on myself because I was like locked to my grandmother's hip when I was a little girl. And that really interested me. 4 hours, I closed my eyes and just sat back and began, you know, just began talking.
So you're recording yourself.
I was recording myself. And so, and from that point, so recording is key, number one. Number two, schedule time. Mm-hmm. Do it the same time every day, every week, every month. For me, I scheduled every Monday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That was my calendar. And, you know, and you don't want to start reading and trying to figure your chapters out before you get the whole story. Just get it out, then go back and, you know, put that all that information together. Hire someone to work with you if you need to. I did. I hired someone to work with me because my life has been so, not complicated, but it's been a big life. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had lots of spokes on that wheel, and to try and get all those pieces together was too much for me. I'm a working woman. So that's what I did. It took us 6 months doing it every Monday. And then it was time to get it edited. It was then time to get it, go to the layout. It was a challenge. It was a huge challenge. I hired one marketing firm back in July, and they missed every deadline that I had. And, you know, I hired a new team, KDR Consultant. I absolutely love them. Anyone looking for a great marketing team, KDR Consultant is your guy. They took my project on the 27th of December, my manuscript. My book signing was the 29th of January, 1 month later. I didn't have anything. They took my manuscript from the layout stage all the way through planning my event. Mm. I hired my PR firm on Tuesday at 10:03 a.m. on the 27th of January. And by 1 o'clock, media alert was out. So Tanisha and her team over there, it's absolutely, so you've got to have a team.
Yes.
As well. And you need that team early so that you can begin laying out the strategy of, now the book is here, what do we do with it?
So you got a good team helping you write the book, and it sounds like you got a good team working with you at All in One Security, providing all these security solutions for many variety of venues out there. So anything coming up in 2016? I know you're going to be out there probably promoting the book, but some new security solutions that you may be offering folks, or some highlights for your business coming forward up in this year?
Yes, I would like to address All in One Security, and I want to close out on my book since that's the most recent thing. But we are launching our new brand. We just completed the brand of our company, All in One Security. And for so many years, our brand has been so strong with just guarding, providing the personnel aspect. But actually, we're moving more so in the arena of technology, integrating systems. So that is the number one thing to look out for All in One Security, is you will recognize our brand holistically now, as opposed to, you know, the guarding and people really not knowing the aspects of security technology that we do, as well as traffic control. So when you're driving around Atlanta in temporary construction zones, take a look at those vehicles that are out there, because your cones and barrels and all of that, many cases, that is All in One Security providing those services as well. Mm-hmm. Police officers directing traffic at concerts, at those construction zones. Those are also many times members of our team as well. We have one individual on our team who handles all law enforcement. We work with law enforcement offices all over the country. So look out. All-in-One is on the rise and it's technology. And things coming up this year, well, we're graduating our first class from the foundation, the FACTS program. FACTS is Focus, Analyze, Commit, and Strategy, where the individuals have gone through a year-long program. At the end of the graduation, they will present their plans for the next level of their business. And on June 4th, we will have our third annual gala for the Mary Parker Foundation, Raising Other Generations. We recognize individuals in five different categories, from the youngest to the eldest that we have identified. 2015 honorees, the ages were, the legendary generation was 102 years old, Mother Mary Hughes. She is phenomenal. And our youngest was 12 years old. They all serve on the same platform at the gala. And then, of course, my book, The Chick in Charge. I'm so excited about that. And people are tweeting and they are sending emails and text messages saying that, you know, they've read the book or they're reading the book. They're giving me five thumbs up and can't put the book down. So we're excited about that. My tour will begin in 2 weeks. We're going to Chicago, Detroit, Grand Rapids, Michigan, come back here, Orlando, Tampa, Florida. So it's going to be a very, very full schedule over the next 2 months. And I'm so excited about that. The other thing, in March, we will start a second version of Chicks in Charge. Later this year, we're planning to do a Chicks in Charge conference. And eventually, I will do an organization called the Chicks in Charge Across the World.
All right. So there you heard it here first, folks, on Atlanta Business Radio from Mary Parker herself. Lots of big things coming up for her personally and her book, and as well as her company, All-in-One Security Services. So we'd love to have you back in the studio to share some of these new successes in 2016 and tell us how you're just doing it all and keeping it straight. So we appreciate it. Tell our listeners how they can find out more information about you or get the book.
Get the book.
Yeah. How can they get it?
You can get my book at thechickincharge.com. You can also follow me on @MaryParker on Facebook, my Twitter and Instagram, @IAmMaryHParker.
Mary H. Parker.
Mary H. Parker.
Well, thank you so much. We wish you much success going forward in 2016 and beyond. And we're here for you at Atlanta Business Radio. So please come back and join us anytime.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for having me. I have a book for you and I would love to get your review on it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing that as well. So before we move on to our next guest, remind our listeners to make sure you're connected with us on Twitter @BusinessRadioX. And today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. Also, make sure you check us out on Facebook and you can see all the photos of our in-studio guests. And now we reintroduce back to the show, Dr. Rashad Sanford. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Ryan. How are you?
Excellent. And you're the founder of Atlanta Spine Doctors.
That is correct.
And being a chiropractor, is that something you've always wanted to do?
Well, to be honest, Ryan, I had no idea what a chiropractor was growing up.
When did you first get exposed to the industry?
I got exposed to it when I was in my junior year undergrad at Morris Brown, and I just happened to be the president of a health careers organization, and we would bring in various speakers. We happened to bring in a speaker from Life University, which happens to be the predominant chiropractic university in this area, and I was exposed to hearing a little bit about the profession, still didn't know much, so I opted to go to a summer program because I was exposed to the fact that it was a form of natural healing, and there were various aspects that you could pursue with it.
Yeah. So have you ever been personally a chiropractic patient yourself?
No, but I wish I had been a long time ago when I was younger.
Yeah. And so you began to get into it and then you decided to open up your own deal. Did you work for a chiropractor doctor before that?
No, I've always kind of had this entrepreneurial spirit. So upon my completion with chiropractic college, I decided to open up as an independent contractor out of a facility in Alpharetta. Mm-hmm. And out of there, I began practicing. And then about several months later, I opened up Atlanta Spine Doctors.
And you've been in business, you said, since?
Yes, almost 10 years.
10 years. Yep. You have two locations.
That's correct.
And you're servicing patients of all kinds, of all ailments, and providing relief to them.
Right. We see everyone from individuals with the traditional neck pain, back pain, headaches, auto accidents. But we also specialize with sports related injuries. We see pregnant moms and children. So, and we also function from the wellness aspect as well.
So tell us, what separates you from the other chiropractic clinics out there?
Right. There are a billion chiropractors and there are a lot of great ones out there. The thing that we pride ourselves on at Atlanta Spine Doctors is that, number one, we care about our patients and we treat all of our patients like family. Anyone that walks in the dorm, they're going to be treated just how we would want ourselves to be treated as well as our loved ones. But we also specialize in bringing the newest technology to the forefront. So everything from cold laser therapy to digital motion x-ray technology to spinal decompression, all the latest and greatest. I travel around the country a couple times a year just to seek out that new technology.
Yeah, so where do you have industry publications you read or go to conferences and expos to stay ahead of the cutting edge
That's
in
correct.
Chiropractic care?
That's correct. Stay up to date on the various publications. And I just got back from Las Vegas about 2 weeks ago at a major conference, and in a few months, I'll be headed to Florida to another conference.
So you're a man on the go and helping people in between.
Always.
And you, I see you recently wrote an article called Tech's Neck is the New Arthritis. Please explain that.
That's correct. Well, Tech's Neck has kind of turned into a little bit of an epidemic in our society almost. Everywhere you go, most of the time, people are just walking around with their heads hanging down. You rarely see, even see people's eyes anymore because everyone's on their phone or the tablet or on the computer. And the Tech's Neck just is exactly that. If you notice, everyone's head is hanging forward. And over a period of time, that can have detrimental effects on a person's neck as well as their health, where their neck starts to develop, people start to develop chronic neck pain or maybe headaches. And due to that lack of motion over time, it can turn into arthritic problems. So that's where the new arthritis kind of comes from at that side.
Okay. Yeah, right. So that sounds good. And so Atlanta, why Atlanta though? Are you from the area?
I'm actually a native of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But I came down to Atlanta in 1997, part of undergrad, and stayed down. I fell in love with the city, especially the better weather, because it's kind of cold up there in Philadelphia.
So
and then the community is just great. There's a lot of a lot of room for entrepreneurs, a lot of networking, and that was important to me.
Yeah, and a lot of people out there actively, you know, doing things athletically and and texting, and so they need your services for sure. And so what does like a new engagement for a new patient look like when they walk into your office? How long does that take? And then what kind of program do you put together for them?
Okay, everyone is different. And that's one of the things that we definitely stress to our patients is that when you come into the door, we're going to do a thorough intake. We're going to do a digital motion x-ray scan. And what that is that analyzes the area of your body that is problematic for you, where we'll actually see the body in live motion as opposed to any traditional studies, whether it's an x-ray or MRI, we can actually see. So if you turn your head to the left and you have pain, we can actually have you do that and see what's going on in the inside of your body at that particular time. In addition to that, we'll do a thorough biomechanics analysis, everything from scanning the bottom of a person's foot to foot orthotics. We'll turn around and do a posture analysis where we take a various picture and then analyze the posture at various points, muscle testing, as well as just a detailed examination just to see every particular point. Upon the completion of that portion, after that, then we'll turn around and we'll schedule a time for a person's treatment. That may be anything from the chiropractic adjustment to laser therapy to spinal decompression, whatever's needed for the patient. Once we see how the patient responds to the initial treatment, we'll have them back for a follow-up visit where we'll put together a detailed care plan total to their needs along with any type of rehab or exercises or stretches that they may need.
And is it a chiropractic's goal to get someone healthy enough where they don't have to keep coming back to you?
Exactly. That's the goal. And that's one of the things upon our consultation that I tell all my patients. I tell them I love them. I want them to see them doing well, but I don't want them living at my office.
Right.
So the goal is to get you to the point where you're feeling great and healthy and you're able to self-sustain that by giving you the tools that you can use.
Right. And you may have an appointment with Dr. Sanford next week and you come in and you say, hey, doc, I don't need any adjustments today. And that's like a good visit, right?
Well, I would love to see a patient that comes in and after we do our proper analysis, we see that they don't need an adjustment that day. So that may be, okay, well, now since you don't need an adjustment today, let's focus on the muscle work. Let's focus on your range of motion or strength, whatever it may take. We also do nutritional testing and nutritional counseling. So it may be something on a person's lifestyle or diet that needs to be. So the overall goal is the overall health and wellness of the patient. That's what we're focused on.
What can you tell our listeners that they can do at home today to help prevent some of of the aging, prevent some of these, you know, text neck? What are some things you can simply do on your own time to get you healthier and in a better shape? Yeah.
Well, number one, well, there's drink plenty of water.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Drink water.
Most people don't drink a lot of water. I mean, I've traveled to Haiti. I've traveled to Mexico. I've traveled to various locations. And that's not only in the States, but across the country, and excuse me, across the world where people don't understand the importance of water and staying hydrated. That helps to clear out toxins out of your system. So a person should drink half of their body weight in ounces. And many people don't realize that portion as well. They think, okay, I'll drink 6 glasses of water and that's enough. No, you need half your body weight in ounces. And you may actually want to add 25% during the summertime. In addition to staying, well, let's talk about the text next thing.
Yeah.
As far as most people don't realize, when your head is hanging down, the natural weight of a person's head is about 10 pounds. For every inch that a person's head is leaning forward, that's an additional 10 pounds of stress on their neck. So now if a person is leaning forward about 2 extra inches, now we're talking about 30 pounds of pressure on their neck. So from the aspect of the texting, let's keep our phones at eye level. We talk about proper computer ergonomics as far as sitting in front of our desk, but we don't talk about the proper ergonomics when we're using our phone or our tablets. So that portion is very important right there. In addition, of course, I believe in exercise.
Exercise is important.
So with that in mind, most people think they have to be at a gym, they have to be an expert to do something. But even if they're doing 20 to 30 minutes, 3-4 days a week, something is better than nothing. And that's what I encourage patients, to just get started with something. You don't have to be just a top-notch fitness expert. Rest is important as well. A person needs 8 hours of sleep, ideally. A lot of us are business owners, but we need 8 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. And then from the standpoint of making sure that your nervous system is functioning properly, and that's where the chiropractic comes in. And that's the foundation of chiropractic, is actually working with the nervous system to make sure that the body is functioning in its proper alignment and in its best state.
There's a great advice for sure. And it seems so simple, but yet no one's doing it on a large scale. You drink water, get sleep, get exercise, eat right. I mean, this is what we've all been taught, but yet people still don't do it.
Right.
And part of that is because we lead busy lives. We're business owners, we're professionals, we're out there on the go.
That's correct.
And and a lot of the times it doesn't lead to a healthy lifestyle.
Sometimes we just have to take a step back and look at the overall benefit down the line. If we wear ourselves out, we won't be productive to anyone.
That's right. So. And so anything exciting coming up for you in 2016 and your in your practice?
A lot of exciting things. One of the things, well, we work with a lot of companies in the area, in the Metro Atlanta area. Every month we're doing various health events at various corporations. We have something coming up next 2 weeks from now at MetLife. We're working with a couple of other companies. And every month we're also in the process of doing a community give back. This month we'll be doing something at Scales, a restaurant where we'll be giving out free information, final assessments, and health screenings out there. And that is going to be this Wednesday, February 3rd from 6 to 10. It's a networking event, and we'll also be providing free information to the local business owners, not only for their employees and companies, but for themselves, as well as every month. This is Heart Health Month. So we'll be doing blood pressure checks, working with local communities. And we work with everyone from homeless shelters to various companies to schools. Our big thing is every month we want to do something to give back to the community.
That's good. And listeners can go to your website, stay updated on these events and places that you're going to be.
That's correct.
All right.
Atlanta Spine Doctors with the S.org. Yes.
Very good. So let's bring in Dr. Hunter to the conversation here. Dr. Hunter, you started interning for Dr. Sanford back when?
I started interning for him. About 2 years ago.
Okay.
And
what was he like to work for back then?
Oh, wow. He's great.
Even as an intern, he treated you fairly and everything?
Yeah, of course, right. He treated me pretty well.
Good. And you liked it and you enjoyed the practice. And then at some point you decided this is where you wanted to be, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a different experience, of course, being out of the traditional school clinic setting. Being in the setting such as Dr. Sanford's, also being able to get the real world experience, so to say, just kind of seeing how the office functions and the day-to-day routine, so to say.
Yeah, so you learned a lot in the beginning and kind of fit into the culture there at his center or his clinic there. So and you want to be part of the team. So here you are now. And what are some of your goals as you begin to kind of further your career in chiropractic care?
Well, my goal is, first of all, to learn as much as I can from Dr. Sanford. He's a veteran. He's been doing this for 10 plus years. So I'm open. I'm always open to learning from him. Mm-hmm. I've already learned quite a bit. The learning curve is very, very large. So some of the things that Doc has already taught me, for instance, is how to transition from an intern into a doctor, first and foremost. Also, I'm looking to acquire some of his business knowledge and skills. Of course, I've also learned the importance of being not only a great doctor, but a great businessman as well.
Yeah, that's all part of it. You can be the best doctor in the world, but if you're not so good at business, you may not last very long.
Have a problem.
Yeah, that's right. And so is chiropractic care something you've been interested in for a long time, or when did you first get exposed to it?
Well, I was first exposed my sophomore year in undergrad. I actually come from a football background, so actually I suffered some injuries before entering college, some that actually made me reconsider if I wanted to actually continue in sports. And after sitting out for about 2 years, I was actually talking about some of the aches, pains, discomforts that I was experiencing. And a colleague who was also a classmate of mine, they actually introduced me to chiropractic. And I didn't know what chiropractic was. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you know, this is something you should definitely look into. You know, you're 21 years old, you know, you shouldn't be complaining about the things that you're complaining about. And so after I actually looked into chiropractic, actually got under care and seen the difference that it made in my life, I said, wow, this is something that I can actually take and use to help other people that are in my situation, especially young adults, people who are not exposed to chiropractic or who even think that they can actually benefit from chiropractic.
Right. Yeah. And I'm a big believer in chiropractic care as well. As many of our listeners and supporters know that I was blown up in Iraq in 2005 and hurt pretty badly and came home and went through a lot of rehabilitation. But chiropractic care was part of that rehabilitation. And I continue to lean on that now as I get better and become more athletic. And so I advise everyone to explore that option for them if they are out there experiencing pain or have not seen results through traditional medical care. So let's bring Megan into the conversation. Now, you've been a patient of Dr. Sanford's now for a couple of years. You said since 2012.
It's 2012.
And what was the reason you first went to go see him?
I came in because of a car accident. I was actually relocating from Milwaukee to Atlanta at the time. And I had gotten in the car accident in Milwaukee. But my physical therapist had relocated to, having relocated to Atlanta, I had a therapist here, and a friend of mine actually was a patient of Dr. Sanford.
So personal referral.
Personal referral. And so she and I were having a conversation. I was letting her know, you know, my therapist now is wanting to introduce chiropractic care. And she said, say no more. I know who you should go to. She drove me directly to Dr. Sanford. I think she made a phone call on that same day. He was able to get me in for an appointment.
But you had to have an open mind in the beginning to explore the options of healing there. And what was that first visit? Did you kind of feel right away that this was going to work for you?
It was, and especially being this was the first time that I had actually had chiropractic care. Mm-hmm. And I was extremely nervous. But once I walked into the office, I think because it was a personal referral, it eased some of my nerves. I was still nervous, but once I walked into the office and I was greeted, like Dr. Sanford said, you feel like your family from the moment you walk through the door. Mm-hmm. It eased me immediately. And then once we began to talk about my injuries, his knowledge is what really soothed the fact and introduced me into the idea of being okay and comfortable with chiropractic care.
And you've been going ever since 2012, and you've seen great improvements in your mobility and your lifestyle as such. And so what were those initial injuries that you were trying to overcome?
I had injured my knee.
Okay.
And so it completely altered my posture. And we were making some progress in me learning how to regain mobility with using my knee and my entire leg, my right leg. However, my posture was completely off, and so it was really reversing the progress that we had made with the knee.
Yes.
And so with having the chiropractic care, it sped up the process. And I remember the first thing I said to Dr. Sanford was, how soon can we get me back in my heels? I wanted to wear my shoes.
Yeah.
And he said to me, it doesn't matter right now. We're going to focus on the health first. And I remember my physical therapist said, well, if we refer you to a chiropractor, it'll probably be 10 to 14 weeks before you regain proper posture.
Yeah.
Dr. Sanford not only had me back with my proper posture in 8 weeks, but I was able to put my heels back on too.
And you haven't looked back since.
So I was happy. But needless to say, it's been a wonderful experience since then. My son too now is also a patient of Dr. Sanford's as well, and he's being treated for asthma. So we went in, he's 10 years old. And I remember in one of my visits, I was telling Dr. Sanford, I said, I'm up all the time with my son, even at night. I don't know when his asthma is going to flare. I don't know when, you know, when he might not be feeling well. And so Dr. Sanford actually recommended to me. He said, have you ever tried taking him to the chiropractor? Now, me being a mother, here it is, my 8-year-old child. I'm like, what do you mean? Bring my baby to a chiropractor? And he said, no, we perform chiropractic service for all ages. And so once he explained to me, we'll look at the sinus cavity. We'll look at, you know, how he's breathing, what his posture is like. We've been bringing him in ever since, and his asthma has been wonderful.
And seeing great results there. Absolutely. And yeah, that's a good point. That if people think you go see chiropractic doctor like Dr. Sanford here because your back hurts, or your Atlanta spine doctors. I mean, but you can treat sinuses, sleep problems, asthma. What are some of these other issues that people may not be aware of that you're able to treat?
Right. Like you mentioned, the sinus. And it's funny, they actually did a special a few years ago on television for if you're dealing with sinus problems and allergies, don't go to your allergist, go to your chiropractor. So that's one of the main issues that we do see. But we also see digestive problems, people that have sleep issues, weaker immune systems. That's one of the reasons why I got into the profession as well, was because in addition to my back pain being improving, I also started to notice where I went from an individual that would get sick 5 or 6 times a year to barely even getting sick once or twice a year, just because my immune system was that strong now. But in addition to the sinus, the digestive issues, there's also pregnancy. So we see a lot of pregnant moms, and a lot of times that's a concern. Women are not sure if it's safe for them, but it helps them have an easier pregnancy. It also helps their baby actually have an easier transition out of the womb. Mm-hmm. And then it also helps keep the babies healthier, because during the birth process, it can be pretty traumatic for the child where their head is twisted and turned. And sometimes they develop issues like scoliosis or asthma or sinus problems or headaches. And the parents are wondering, where did this come from? Well, sometimes it stems from the fact of the birth process where the child went through that trauma, and then their spine got out of alignment, and it compromised their nervous system at that particular moment. And then they developed into that. So if the child is under proper care from the time that they're born, those tend to be the healthiest children that have the least complications. They excel in activities. Even many people don't know Aaron Rodgers, the professional football player. Mm-hmm. His father is a chiropractor. Mm. So he's been under care for a lot of time. Jerry Rice, there are a lot of individuals. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, there are a lot of individuals that have been under chiropractic care for the longest.
And so, yeah, it can help you holistically, your entire body. It can improve your mind, your spirit.
Exactly.
It can really enrich your life if you just go see Dr. Sanford over there at Atlanta Spine Doctors, for sure.
Definitely.
So any advice you may give to a young entrepreneur, doctor, fresh out of life university, looking to start their own practice, what were some of those early hurdles that you experienced that you can help them look out for?
All right. Well, starting a business is tough, and there's no doubt about it. But the things that I tell people are, is find a mentor for sure, like we've already mentioned. Mm-hmm. But you have to learn your craft. It's one thing to be in school, but you have to learn your craft. And it takes several years to learn that craft. So you have to find someone that you can learn from. It's no different than a golf swing. You can swing all day long, but if you're not learning a correct way, then it's going to be a problem, and you're never going to get better. Learn from someone that actually knows what they're doing. In addition, you have to be persistent and consistent. So those are two of my main things. Every day you have to work towards your craft, and you have to work to get better. And you have to keep a positive mental outlook.
Yeah. And if you don't,
it's not always easy.
No, it's not easy for sure. And it's a stressful environment, you know, being a business owner, trying to, you know, have employees and making sure that, you know, they're satisfied as well. And so if you need to get out there, from what I understand, is get out there and experience the world first, be a doctor, perfect your craft. And then when you're ready, if you want to open up your own practice, that would be the time.
Right. Exactly. Learn. I mean, you can go the route of doing it your way and taking the learning curve maybe a little bit longer, and that works as well. But no matter what, even if you go out on your own, still find a mentor or someone that you can learn from while you're doing your own entrepreneurial business.
That's fantastic advice. We do appreciate Dr. Rashad Sanford coming in here today. I think you should have your own radio show. I mean, you like your voice. Your message is positive.
We'll collab, Ryan.
Yeah,
we'll work on that.
We can explore that together. But in the meantime, let's tell our listeners how they can find you and connect with you and your clinics.
Okay. Well, we have several outlets to reach us. Our main, our website, atlantaspinedoctors.org. That's Atlanta Spine Doctors with an S at the end. We're also on Twitter at Atlanta Spine Doctors, but that's Atlanta Spine DRS, as well as Facebook, Atlanta Spine Doctors with an S at the end. And we're happy to see anyone over at our clinic. And if you mention that you heard about us on Business Radio X, mm-hmm. we'll have a special thing for you as well.
Excellent. And he's got that event coming up, Free Community and Formal, that Dr. Fans are participating at Scales 925 on February 3rd. Yes. You'll be discussing tips to avoid text neck other health-related issues, so make sure you stay connected there. So thank you, Dr. Sanford. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. You, and thank you, Megan, for joining us here today on Atlanta's Business Radio. Please come back and visit us again real soon.
Thank you for having us.
All right. And we do have another guest in studio again. So how are you doing, Gary?
Just fine, Ryan. How are you?
All right, good. So, Gary, you are with Intergage Inc., right?
Yes, I am.
And you are the founder and CEO of that company. Tell our folks what you're doing.
Ryan, I'm on a quest to rid the world of performance evaluations.
Okay.
That little ritual that almost every employee finds demeaning and most managers think is a big waste of time.
And performance evaluations. We need those. How do you know where you stand with an organization if you don't get it evaluated?
Well, you don't need the labels and grades. I would argue that you do need a good conversation, and I think that it's very important to have a system in place, something that's scalable to be on the consistent side that you mentioned earlier. But the grade thing doesn't actually work for you. Most companies are copying what they're doing, those particularly the people listening in here that are running businesses. Most are not Fortune 500 companies, I trust. And most of us get our performance evaluations from, in small companies, we get them from medium-sized companies, we get them from the big companies. The big guys have all been doing the same basic thing for almost 100 years now, this little ritual of taking a list of competencies, of desired behaviors, and comparing the worker against those and telling you what you're good at, what you're bad at. And by the way, the end result is you're good at these things, bad at those things. Now work at what you're bad at.
That's right. Work on your weakness.
Exactly. Yes. And so even before the strength movement came out, we've been telling people that's not really the optimal way to do it. If you watch sports teams, and in particular, we believe the metaphor of coaching is superior to the metaphor of evaluating or judging or grading. And so we built our system around, we call it catalytic coaching. We build it around the whole principle of coaching. In other words, your job as a manager is to get your people to work together in a way that allows them to win. If you're not winning, I want to know what changes you're making. And if you're not winning and I don't like your changes, I'm going to get a new coach. So it's not that, I'm not a softie. I'm not saying quit grading and just go to some kind of kumbaya, California style, hold hands and hum kind of program. I think you need to have very serious direct conversations with people about where they're at, where they want to go, and how to help them get there. And when you do that, what you really do is you get people a lot more engaged and excited about their work, and that has a number of really positive outcomes, as you might imagine.
And this isn't something you just dreamed up overnight. This comes from your past 30-plus years in human resources, working with big major corporations, and then you began to kind of see things from a different angle after this time. But then at what point did you decide, okay, this is the route and the message I want to begin to send to the world out there?
Well, Ryan, you're right. I've been doing it for a while. I learned all about what I didn't want to do with the big companies. So I started my career with Exxon, Shell, and Phelps Dodge, all top of the Fortune 500 in terms of their size. And I learned all about rating and ranking even, the kind of stuff GE got famous for. I was doing that too at companies like Exxon. And I found myself creating a system where, about 90% of the people felt like losers and the other 10% were paranoid. And I was the one passing out the forms, telling everybody to do it this way. And I finally, over time, began to feel like it really wasn't a good idea. And so I left the Fortune 500 and went to a smaller, more entrepreneurial organization, still very large, but several hundred million, not in the billions. And I got to a position where I could be in charge of that practice, and I experimented with no grading, no labels, no attempt to justify this year's stunning 2% increase with last year's performance rating. And to put it in common language, it didn't suck.
Yeah.
So people kind of said, well, that was kind of cool. I like that. That was neat. I enjoyed that. Anyway, I did that for a while and then kind of got bought away by another company, wanted a vice president a little faster than these folks did, and brought me to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And did it all over again. And I thought I would custom fit a solution to this new company. It was my first non-oil and gas company, specialty chemicals, completely different industry, you know, multinational all over the world, 9 languages. Turned out I invented the same thing all over again. So I'm kind of slow, but not that slow. I eventually figured out this stuff works everywhere. And mm-hmm. About 17 years ago, I closed the door and wrote a book. For me, it was a full-time thing. It was a very academic type book, not kind of semi-scholarly, and a lot of footnotes and all that kind of stuff. So I had somebody told me it'd take me 9 months. I never would have done it, never would have started, but that's what it took. And then another 9 months for the publicity train to come around. And while that was happening, I found a CEO network to speak to, Vistage.
Yeah, we've been out there many times.
Okay, well, I've been out there 650 times talking to CEO nice. Groups. Just got back from Edmonton, Alberta. I've been there many times before. I'm about to go back to Hawaii next week.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, I know. I took one speaking engagement for 3 hours and spent 9 days there. I'm thinking, you know, thank you for the paid vacation. And we've ended up building quite a following out there. So good. I'm going back to next.
So week. Where can people find your book?
Yes. You can find my book at Energage, Energage.com, or you can go to Amazon and find it there as well. It's called Catalytic Coaching. Catalytic means speeding the pace of significant change. Mm-hmm. And the basic idea is, you know, I'd like to move faster through problems. I like to spend less time with poor performers so I can spend more time with good performers.
Yeah. No, change is very hard for big institutions to implement. We have a new show launching next month, going to be called Change Agents Exclusive, and how to do that. It's going to be hosted by Mr. James Dallas, former CIO of Georgia Pacific and Medtronic. So we're looking forward to that show. So we're talking about change a lot here in the studios recently. How do you get some of these big organizations to implement the new change that you're advocating for? That must be a tough rock to push there.
Well, I got to tell you, Ren, I like to start at the C-suite. That's why I speak to Vistage. As much as I admire my HR colleagues that I spend all my time with, in the end, they don't pick which personnel systems they use. Right. And so if I can get a CEO for 3 hours, by the time we're done, they'll kind of agree with me that what they've been doing weighs a lot and produces very little. What I introduce to them weighs a little and produces a lot, and they want mine. And so they turn to their HR people and say, go to the course, read the book, make it so. And they immediately get a yes, ma'am, yes, sir, we'll get that done. And I have no problem. When I go to, I speak at big HR conventions sometime, I got to talk to a whole lot of HR people to get through to a big company, because unless they're on a mission to change,
they're not going to implement new change.
They're right. Scared to go back and say, you know, that stuff I've been making you do all this time, it's making everybody sick. So yeah. We need to do something different.
Right. And so once the company organization decides to implement your methodology, how long does that usually take?
Not very long. It's we use 3 forms. It takes 4 meetings a year. It takes 5 hours per person per year. It's, you know, it's not easy to learn, but it's simple.
Okay.
Okay. And so we have some training built on the web. If you look at our website, you can look at, we've got Catalytic Coaching Online, which is where we house our forms, and the process has some training built into it. So if you're a small company, that's a great way to go. If you're a bigger company, you probably need a little more help than just software and a little bit of training. And again, we're happy to come and do that, or have you come and learn from us when we do our, you know, 3 or 4 per year weekly gathering of the coordinators.
And how does a company know that this is really changing the way things are working in the organization? What are some of the success metrics you point to that says this is a good reason why we made this change?
I'm a big believer in, you know, stories, okay, and collecting the stories. I'm not a big believer in independent, dependent variable kind of judgments. For example, I can tell you of a company that was $500 million the year before they introduced catalytic coaching, and they were over $1 billion 18 months later in revenue. They also added Walmart as a client. Okay, so there are a lot of things going on in a business, and I think it's silly to say that introducing my program is the cause of something else. I can tell you that on the surveys that you do with employees, that any of the things like Q12, the Gallup poll stuff, they all shoot up on all the key indices of satisfaction from employees. You can point to things like reduced turnover, increased employee satisfaction, all that kind of stuff. But we've also had a number of companies that have won, you know, best company in their area, or you know, all those best practice kind of awards.
So it speaks more to the culture that changes within the organization.
Yeah, but to be honest, most of the people who, it's kind of like the rich get richer and the, you know, the well-educated families are the ones spending the money educating their kids. Most of the companies that hire us are already better than most of their counterparts. They just get better yet.
Right. So, but you can, the employee culture, this, the environment within the organization, that begins to be more solid and place people want to spend more time, as opposed to, hey, I got my performance review coming up and I got to go through all this rigmarole just to get reevaluated again to figure out if I want to stay here. So I think that's definitely a place that people can look if your organization is out there trying to change things and implement some new ways of change. That's a great, good place to start for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. So please tell our listeners how they can find out more information about you and your organization.
Again, you can go to energage.com, E-N-E-R-G-A-G-E.com. Almost everything connected to me in one way or another is reachable through that website.
And we'd love to have you back on Atlanta Business Radio, if not one of our other programs. I think you'd be also a great fit for a show that we do, CEO Exclusive, where we bring in CEOs from mid-level to markets out there. So please do come back and join us and be a guest on the program once again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ryan. Love to do it.
All right. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. And if you're out there and your company is doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market and your community, pitch us your story on the website at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan McPherson. So we'll see you on the radio.